I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
And the left continues their absolute meltdown over the Madison Square Garden rally last night. Unbelievable stuff. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Scioli. MSNBC, shameful, despicable with their displays of the 1939 Nazi rally at Madison Square Garden. Why didn't they show side-by-side comparisons of, say, Bruce Springsteen at Madison Square Garden? I mean, they could have. Just saying. But this whole Hitler thing is not working. It's not working. That's the bottom line. A story today from the pro-Harris super PAC raises concerns about focusing on Trump and fascism. This is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com, and mark November 9th for his annual Veterans Breakfast and free community shredding event. It'll be a great time, VenariaDental.com. So let's understand that when we talk about all these issues and we talk about the craziness of the day, It's not just us turning around and going, this is stupid political strategy. You also have people on the left who are turning around and going, this is really bad political strategy. The leading super PAC supporting Vice President Kamala Harris is raising concerns that focusing too narrowly on Donald Trump's character and warning that he is a fascist is a mistake in the closing stretch of the campaign. In an email circulated to Democrats about what messages have been most effective in its internal testing, Future Forward, the leading pro-Harris super PAC, said focusing on Mr. Trump's character and the fascist labor were less persuasive than other messages. In fact, I have the memo in my formerly formerly pangolin-stained fingers. Actually, they're my formerly Italian bread-stained fingers. I made pizza dough yesterday. I had some leftovers. So I decided to make some Italian bread, a little olive oil on the top, sesame seeds, threw it into the wood-fired pizza oven. Oofa. I'm just saying, oofa. I still got to work on the appearance a little bit because obviously when you're making bread, it's different than making dough. And, you know, there's things to shape them into the nice bread look that you get at the, you know, at Sarcone's or whatever. But I'm just saying, it tastes good. You know, but look wise, I'm not ready to post any pictures on social media just yet. But when you open it, crack it open, it's got that nice, chewy, bubbly, you know what I mean? Obviously, I'm hungry. It's getting to the end of the show. This is what we always do. We start talking about food at this time of night. Anyway, the email said attacking Trump's fascism is not that persuasive. It was in bold type. The other one is Trump is exhausted. As another attack point, that isn't working either. The Doppler emails have been sent weekly for months and more frequently of late, offering Democrats guidance on messaging and on the results of Future Forward's extensive tests of clips and social media posts. The Doppler message on Friday urged Democrats to highlight Ms. Harris's plans, especially economic proposals, and her vows to focus on reproductive rights, portraying a contrast with Mr. Trump on those topics. Quote, purely negative attacks on Trump's character are less effective than contrast messages that include positive details about Kamala Harris's plans to address the needs of everyday Americans. Chauncey McLean, the president of Future Forward, and I don't believe any relation to John McLean from Die Hard, issued a rare statement to the New York Times downplaying the significance of the Doppler email. Quote, don't overread this. This is just one of our regular emails sharing testing results from thousands of pieces earned and social media content. It shows people that the most effective way of using Trump's words and behavior is tying them to consequences in voters' lives. That's what Kamala Harris does every day, by comparing her to-do list with his enemies list, for example. Jennifer O'Malley Dillon, Ms. Harris's campaign chair, said on Sunday on MSNBC that it has real impact that people close to Mr. Trump have spoken out against him. Does it? We know anecdotally, we know from our research, when someone like John Kelly stands up and speaks about what it was like to serve under Donald Trump, it speaks about how he clearly wants unchecked power. The American people are not comfortable with that. The Doppler email said Ms. Harris's response to Mr. Kelly's remarks during her town hall on CNN were only in the 40th percentile on average for moving vote choice, meaning it does less to push voters toward the vice president than other messages it scored higher. In contrast, a clip of Ms. Harris on Howard Stern's radio program promising to expand Medicare to cover in-home care for the elderly tested in the 95th percentile. Ms. Harris's campaign did turn the audio of Mr. Kelly into a television ad, but has spent relatively little on it so far. I've heard that freaking ad play on the station 800 times. In a public memo over the weekend, the Harris campaign signaled that her economic message puts Trump on defense and it was likely to be a focus in the final week. Likely to be a focus in the final week? Seriously, the economic message is likely to be a focus in the final week. Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. That, you know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. People that hate Trump so much, their Trump derangement syndrome clouds their political judgment. And so they're literally unable to turn around rationally and suggest that maybe focusing on the economy is a better move than Trump being a fascist. Because they hate him so much. And when you've got people like that around you in your orbit, who just want to be proven right, and they don't want to adjust because their own personal animus, you know what I mean, is such a thing. Well, then I don't know what you do with that. I don't know what you do with that. And it's not just a matter of that. I mean, even ahead of the election, John Carl dials the hysterics up to 11, in yet another overwrought editorial about Donald Trump. But he did mention, though, I will mention, and this is a pretty interesting clip, though, when he was talking to the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos and observing the support for Trump and the massive support for Trump. And it obviously is very massive support, no question about it.
Look, I was there for about 6 hours yesterday. First thing I've got to say, Madison Square Garden was packed. People waited hours to get in. They sat through hour after hour of this rally. They were fervent in their devotion to all things Trump. Trump has created a movement. There is no doubt. I cannot think of another Republican figure of my lifetime who could have come into a Democratic city like New York and put together anything like that. Look, I was there for about 6 hours.
You know, this is why they want to turn it into some sort of fascistic thing. But Bill Clinton had rallies there. Jimmy Carter had a rally there. I mean, politicians have rallies. It's Madison Square Garden. Like, the Rangers play there. Okay, so Nazis had a rally there in 1939. So what? What does that have to do with anything? Other than their obsession with tying Trump to this because they think it's going to work. But even their own people are turning around in these memos and saying, this isn't working. This isn't working. In a public memo over the weekend, the Harris campaign signaled that her economic message puts Trump on defense, blah, blah, blah. She's scheduled to deliver what her campaign has billed as a closing speech on Tuesday at the Ellipse in Washington, the same location where Mr. Trump called the crowd that eventually stormed the Capitol on January 6, 2021. This is the far right wing New York Times writing this, obviously. Storm the Capitol. So they're going to make Insurrection Day, the high holy day of the left, a feature of their closing argument. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. The only thing people care about when it comes to January of 2021 is the price of groceries in January of 2021. That's it. That's all they care about. They go, what was I paying for food in January of 2021? I don't care about January the 6th. It has no bearing on my life. I don't care. If they care that much, that cake's already baked. If you are trying to turn around and tie Donald Trump to January 6th and the Nazis to win over undecided voters after hearing that he's Hitler for all these years and it still hasn't moved the needle, maybe, just maybe you try something else. or just do the Mika Brzezinski playbook.
And you need to believe him. And these are the final hours. We need you. We need you, you, and all of you to vote.
Yep. Yeah. There you go. So, Mika, I think you heard us before you came out. We were talking earlier about yesterday's Trump rally from hell at Madison Square Garden.
Rally from hell.
What did you make of it?
Well, I think it was everything that you need to know about Donald Trump in one weird white nationalist Nazi type rally. And of course, there's historic parallels to where and when this happened. But
yeah, there's historic parallels to the fact that Bruce Springsteen also played there like 500 times and people had to pay $5,000 to get a seat. Historic parallels. Oh, man, I'm telling you, man, these people are obsessed. And Biden forgot Trump's name again. Yeah, shocking about that, right? He forgot his name again. I love this. I mean, it's so funny how the Kamala Harris campaign wants Biden nowhere near them. Just stay far away. Like, don't even come anywhere near us.
And you got... it's very dangerous. Very dangerous.
Trump?
And,
the
idea that... Kamala's opponent is talking to Putin and discussing what should be done. I mean, anyway.
He thought it was totally inappropriate that Elon Musk is trying to register Americans to vote. Don't you love that? Biden completely just forgot his name. He's like, the guy that, the one that's running against... what's his name? The opponent there. Who's he watsies? Who's he watsies?
And you got... it's very dangerous. Very dangerous. And the idea that Kamala's opponent is talking to Putin and discussing what should be done. I mean, anyway.
In all seriousness here, can I just honestly one question, and that's isn't it bad that the Commander-in-Chief doesn't know the name of the guy running for president of the United States against him? Don't you think that's kind of a problem? I'm just saying. But let's keep going with this idea that Trump's a fascist. Now, on The View today, Mika Brzezinski going all in with the cackling hens on The View, including Karen Johnson, a.k.a. Whoopi Goldberg, about Trump being a fascist. Now, I share with you that polling memo says this isn't working. Why are they still going down this road then if it's not working? Why? And the answer is Trump derangement syndrome. They can't just get over the fact that they hate this guy so much. So they're willing to they'll lose if it just means they can just keep repeating Trump's a fascist.
Yeah. And guys, here's the warning. You all have set it up, but let me take it a step further, please, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
This is called normalization.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
This is the descent into fascism, if we so choose. Normalizing January 6th, it's a day of love. It's a day of love. I'll say it again and again and again. Normalizing enemy from within. I'll say it again and again. I'll say it again and again.
You know, actually, don't say it again and again. I don't want to hear it. I really don't. I don't want to hear it. It's you guys keep it up, though. I mean, seriously, keep it up. You're doing great. You don't let anybody fool you. You're doing great. You're doing great. Don't stop. Keep calling him a fascist and keep calling him Hitler. It's working great for you. It's working great for you. All right? You keep going with this. Go with this and tell us more about what you like to eat.
So breakfast, what does Madam VP eat for breakfast? Or do you have time to, or is it on the go?
No, I when I was younger, I didn't think I needed breakfast. I wasn't a breakfast eater.
Okay.
Now I have breakfast every morning. It's usually a spinach omelet. It's not very exciting.
Right.
But it's protein with a little vegetable. And, you know, I like chicken apple sausage. And
well, can I, what is funny about omelet that starts cracking you up? Like, what's funny about that?
Some toast and then I'm gone.
And a glass of wine, a giant glass of rosé to wash it all down. A nut. Now they said the Medicare for all thing was a big priority, and now they're saying it's not a priority for them. So I don't know what her positions are. I don't know what the positions are, but just keep talking about Trump being Hitler. You know what I mean? And that's what she's doing. So she sits down and she goes on more interviews, and she does the same thing. The same thing over and over again. And they tell her it's not working, but she can't help herself. Because I think there's a lot of people around her who just keep telling her that, yeah, this fascist message works, and so why not? You know, why
not? Some people who watched that made comparisons between a rally that happened at Madison Square Garden in 1939 with neo-Nazis or Nazis back then. Do you see those comparisons? And can you also expand on what he said and what you said yesterday about Puerto Rico?
Donald Trump has, this is not new about him, by the way. What he did last night is not a discovery.
Some people who watched that made...
What he did last night, even having a huge rally? Huh? That she had a huge rally. Yeah, that's definitely not like him. That's very, very true. They did have a huge, huge rally. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. But I say keep going with it. You know what? Keep going with it. Keep going with it because it's working for you. All right, we got more to come on our fourth and final hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, he is one of the sharpest criminal minds out there. He's a former prosecutor himself, and his slogan, which is the best slogan in all of law, just because you did it doesn't mean you're guilty. He's a surrogate for President Donald Trump's campaign. He's David Gelman, thegelmanlawfirm.com. What's up, brother? How you doing today?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me.
I got a lot to ask you about, but let's start with Nathan Wade, Fannie Willis's Fannie and the Gumata here, who clearly now, the guy had to go to RICO school. Which is amazing to me, right? Because, I mean, I've seen a lot of mob movies. I'm not a lawyer. I could prosecute a RICO case just based on watching mafia movies. This guy is an attorney, and he had to go to special RICO school.
I think the RICO school was just watching Goodfellas. what else do you need to know? How do you not know RICO? But again, this goes back to why was he even the attorney to begin with? Why was he appointed? Do you think it's because he had some specialized powers that we just don't know about? I mean, of course not. You have to be blind as a bat to see this. It was all because he was sleeping with the DA, Fannie Willis. It's very simple. I mean, this guy's a matrimonial attorney. I don't even know if he knew what the criminal code in Georgia even is. So, you know, this doesn't shock me whatsoever.
No, and RICO school sounds like it sounds like detention for lawyers. Like you got to go to RICO school now and learn all about this. Yeah, but I mean, look, we make jokes about it, but it proves the point. The taxpayers paid for this guy to the tune of $700,000. And even though I'm glad that he's a moron and that she's a moron, the taxpayers have there's a duty to the taxpayers to ensure that you're hiring the best people to prosecute cases on behalf of the people of the county. And they clearly did not do that here because there was a relationship. A romantic relationship, which they both try to deny. And then he goes to the White House. He has all these meetings with people in the Biden administration. So everything we've been saying, David Gelman, everything you've been saying, I've been saying, that this appears to be incredibly coordinated between the Biden White House, the DNC, Fulton County, Georgia, just to get Donald Trump.
100%. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, this is all conspiracy theories, this and that. Well, you know what? These conspiracy theories are turning out to be actually true.
Yeah.
I mean, he goes to the White House. Why would you possibly go to the White House for a meeting on a state case that has nothing to do with the federal government whatsoever? Only one reason and one reason only, Rich. And that's because the DOJ and the Biden administration are coordinating everything with Nathan Wade and Fannie Willis. I mean, do you think they're smart enough? Really, do you think that Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade and that office are smart enough to do this multi-defendant, multi-count racketeering case? No. I mean, racketeering cases are never even heard in state court, and they're barely even heard in federal court. So how would these individuals know what they're doing? There's only one reason for this, and that's because the DOJ was coordinating with it.
And we also know that there was probably coordination with Alvin Bragg's office as well, because the one guy who was pretty high up in the Biden Justice Department wound up being the lead prosecutor on that case, correct?
That's accurate. Yeah, he left the DOJ. He was number three, and he left to go become an assistant attorney in Alvin Bragg's office. That's not a big, you know, that's a pretty big step down, yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, at least go make money like most people do when they leave Washington. This guy goes from working for the federal government to working for a county government, essentially. I mean, it's a total step backwards for him. It's only for political purposes, no question about it. Now, clearly, all this is backfiring. They're not going to stop. We know that Jack Smith is still trying to have Donald Trump prosecuted in the court of public opinion. That's why the latest revelations from the judge Chutkin in that case, you know, putting out the latest stuff, it's also not working. So now, back here in Philadelphia, today was announced by the district attorney, Larry Krasner, instead of focusing on criminals and drug dealers and gangs and all the illegal guns on the streets, let's go after Elon Musk.
Yeah, makes perfect sense, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, he tried to jack my car the other day. Dude, no joke. True story. Elon Musk tried to carjack because it wasn't a Tesla.
Obviously. No, it makes obviously perfect sense. Let's go after the richest guy in the world because he is trying to get individuals to come out and vote. Doesn't matter if you're voting for Trump or Harris. Obviously, he would prefer you vote for Trump, and we all would. But there's no strings attached to this thing. It's Larry Krasner, and this is the beauty of it, Rich. Before I got on here, I was doing a little research about this. You know the DOJ refused to prosecute Elon Musk about this? They refused to do anything? So Krasner is just doing it on his own because he's trying to interfere with it. Now, let's just think about this for a second. Elon Musk is the richest man in the world. Mm-hmm. Billions upon billions upon billions. We could go swimming in a pool of his billions and we wouldn't even hit the bottom. So don't you think that he has, you know, probably pretty good attorneys work for him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? And wouldn't you think that he has actually run this by the attorneys to find out if this is legal or not? I would think so. I mean, you know, when you're being when you're the richest man in the world, you probably are pretty smart. And by, you know, having your attorneys, you know, make sure this is all thoroughly vetted would probably be one of the first things you do.
And all he's doing is saying to people, if you sign this petition, you have a chance to win $1 million. He's offering people a chance to win money, and he's giving his money away. I thought the left wants people like him to give their money away. Isn't there the whole goal is to try to take as much money?
It can't be willingly. It has to be taxed.
Well, that's true. That's fair. Yes, they can't do it all on their own. David Gelin's with me, and it's great to have him here on the show as we begin what is going to be a long election week. Now, I don't know. We hear all kinds of different stories today. The latest story that just dropped is that there are ballot drop boxes on fire out in the Midwest, in Oregon, in Washington. We know there's some shenanigans happening. One thing I've noticed is that the lines are very long for early voting, even in New Jersey.
Yep.
People were telling me they're waiting 2.5 hours to vote. So these are all good signs. But I know there's going to be litigation. I mean, between now and then, we still have the issue in Virginia. The United States Supreme Court may hear that case about all the illegals who signed up to, and they checked the box that they were not American citizens to vote. And they're now going after Governor Glenn Youngkin about this. How much do you anticipate between now and then when we have all this decided, are we going to be dealing with court challenges?
Oh, all day, every day. I mean, we're going to be in Pennsylvania starting Sunday. And I don't know where in Pennsylvania the Trump campaign's throwing me, but we're going all over. And then, you know, Tad Drummond from my office, you know, probably the smartest attorney that I've ever met, he's going to be on it as well. So our office is literally shut down next week due to the high demand of what we know is going to be happening. And you know what? It's pretty interesting. Pennsylvania, we're pretty much the forefront because as President Trump said, if you win Pennsylvania, you're going to win it all.
Yeah.
So this is the most important state. And we know that there's been a lot of shenanigans in the past. The RNC, I got to tell you, they really have their act together now with Chairman Wadley and Laura Trump. It's amazing what it looks like now compared to what it looked like 4 years ago when we were in a re-election for President Trump. It is night and day. This operation that we have right now, it is so robust, and it's like a well-oiled machine. I'm really confident of what's going to be happening. And there's going to be a ton of legal challenges that are going to be happening throughout the state and throughout the country. But we're ready this time.
That's good. That's really important because, yes, 2020 caught us all by surprise and they took advantage of that. And then, of course, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court gets involved and says you can keep taking mail-in ballots up until Friday and they don't even have to have postmarks on them and nothing like that. Now, what do you think the implications will be on that federal ruling that came out, I think, on Friday where they said, no, no, ballots have to be received by election day? Do you think that'll have ramifications for states around the country?
It should. I mean, think about it. How can you possibly have ballots that come in after election day? I mean, just it doesn't make sense. Like, just common sense, Rich. So it has to have ramifications, and it should. Now, I think the Democrats, they know how to play the game very well. So they're trying to they're going to be planning and doing whatever they can to rectify the situation as much as they can in their in favor of them. But you know what? The Supreme Court, when they rule, they rule. So you have to have your ballots in by election day. So they have to be counted on that day. And I think that's going to be a big game changer.
I noticed something. So I went today to the Burlington County Clerk's office to pick up my ballot because I didn't want to wait in line. I had a friend waiting in line to vote at Ramapo, and there was like 2 hours. I said, I don't have the patience for that because I have no patience to wait in line. So I went and I got my mail-in ballot, and I'm going to drop it to the Board of Elections. I'm going to hand it to them tomorrow. That's my plan. But what I noticed is when I went in there to get my ballot, I had a show ID, and everybody had a show ID. And not a single person in there had a problem with that. They were all more than willing to hand over their ID. And there were white people in there and black people in there. And everybody had voter identification. It really didn't seem to be a problem whatsoever.
That's a shock.
I know. I know.
I mean, you need an ID to get on a plane. You need an ID to drive a license to go buy alcohol. But you don't need an ID to vote.
No.
Is that correct? Is that right? Is that what the Democrats want us to think?
Yeah.
It makes absolutely no sense. I mean, how are you going to have a fair and balanced election? Just a fair election. You know, it doesn't matter who you're voting for. You can vote for anybody you want. But just be fair about it. Only vote once. Vote in the district that you live in. You got to be a citizen of the United States. It's not very difficult, and just provide documentation showing it. We have to do it for everything else in this country that's important. You know, voting is one of the most important duties as an American citizen, I think. So why can't you just have a voting have an ID? Makes no sense why they want to fight it.
No, listen, brother, it makes perfect sense. Well, I'm glad you're going to be there next week fighting the good fight, you and Tad, and we appreciate your work on this. We got to make sure that everything is going to be A-OK, and I know it will be. I've got great confidence in Chairman Whatley, Lara Trump, and guys like you, guys like Tad, and all the others who are going to be helping out. So I appreciate it very much. Check out David's site at thegelmanlawfirm.com, surrogate for the Donald Trump campaign for president. Thanks, my friend. Great seeing you, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again very, very soon. Keep us posted on any legal challenges that happen between now and then.
Sounds like a plan, Rich.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've talked about it, early voting. Now we got a very important deadline on our hands. They always say not all heroes wear capes. Scott Pressler is a hero. I don't think he wears a cape. Maybe he does. Scott Pressler joins me right now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. How you doing, my friend?
Look, tomorrow is a very important day. Tomorrow, Tuesday, October 29th, is the last day that you, the listener, can vote in-person on-demand mail-in ballot. And furthermore, it's the last day that you can request a mail-in ballot at all. So if you're not going to be in town on November 5th, or if you work a 12-hour schedule, or if you have young kids, or if you have an aging parent, or if you have work that takes you out of the state or possibly even the country, then please, I beg you, go to your Board of Elections tomorrow, and I want you to fill out a mail-in ballot application. You turn in that application, they call your name, you'll get your ballot, You'll fill out your ballot and you'll turn it in person, all at the same time, and in person, on demand, mail-in ballot. Tomorrow is the last day, the last opportunity.
And you should do it no matter what the reason, I think, because you just never know what's going to come up on election day. You just never know. Life's unpredictable. Things happen, right?
Yeah, Arizona, the machines had printing errors on election day when Republicans vote. Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, ran out of paper on election day when Republicans vote. Mm-hmm. And even in Nevada, in Washoe County, a Republican county, it snowed on election day when Republicans vote. And we lost the Senate seat by 8,000 votes when 150,000 Nevada Republicans stayed home. So this election is too important, y'all, that we must lock in every single vote. And I have good news. The good news is I have heard from places all over the Commonwealth, from Beaver County to Pike County to York, that the lines are so long, and it seems to be a lot of conservatives that are voting early.
Yeah, that is great news. It really is. A couple of other thoughts on the on what you're describing for us, Scott Pressler. Number one, you don't have to worry about trusting the mail system because a lot of people don't trust the post office or the postal system. Fine. Because to your point, you request your mail-in ballot, you get it, you fill it out, you turn it in, you hand it in. So it's checked, the box is checked, you don't have to worry about getting lost in the mail. It's done. And now you don't have to worry about getting called into a meeting on election day, a kid getting sick, flat tire, nothing. You're good to go. Because I know that's some of the reservations people have. You know, well, I don't want to mail it. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with that. Fair enough. You don't have to worry about that.
Exactly. And you can also track your ballot. And that's something that I really encourage for anyone that has already voted. Type into the internet, Pennsylvania, track my ballot. Or check my ballot. And you can actually see where it says that your ballot was processed. And here's something that's very important. If you see where it says ballot returned, don't freak out. Don't panic. Returned means they received your ballot. It means that you returned your ballot to the Board of Election, to the processing place. So don't think return ballot means like they sent it back because it wasn't taken. No, it just means they received it.
Okay, good to know. The enthusiasm factor is huge. You yourself, you moved to Pennsylvania, put your money where your mouth is. Why I said not all heroes wear capes, Scott Pressler, but you certainly are a hero. You moved to PA. You've dedicated your life to this effort. You've traveled all 67 counties. You've been everywhere, and you've got Republicans registered to vote. Now we have to translate that. We got to convert that into a ballot. And we also need to tell people that if you have requested a mail-in ballot, you have to return it, because I'm looking at those numbers and not all of them have been, to your point, returned yet. And that's a very important thing. You can't just request a ballot. It's like Seinfeld with reserving a car. Anybody can request a ballot, but you got to actually turn the ballot in.
Yes, well, the data came out today, and it's quite frankly stunning. I mean, I would even say a political earthquake. Democrats in the last day of voter registration added 19,000 voters. Republicans added 36,000 voters on the last day of voter registration. And so we have the momentum, we have the voters, we have the excitement, we have the policies. Now it's about getting ballots in the boxes. And so again, tomorrow, Tuesday, October 29th, is the last day of in-person, on-demand, mail-in voting. And otherwise, I need you to spend every single day making sure that every voter is going to come out on November 5th. That is election day.
I saw you posted a couple things on your X account, Scott Pressler, over the weekend. One of them was the enthusiasm at Penn State. So during a Penn State football game, Trump had a rally there, and it was a ton of young people there. That's a great sign in Happy Valley. But number two, you're also talking about Luzerne County, and I think you're looking into something that's going on up there. Can you give us some detail into that?
Well, right now I want to focus on... So there are some investigations going on, so we don't have a whole ton of details, but I can tell you in regards to Center County that, you know, that's the largest campus of Penn State University, where all the students are. And for so long, you know, I think students kind of leaned towards the Democrat Party. But get this, the data that we received today, Center County is under 1,000 voters away from flipping from blue to red. Wow. That is quite frankly historic. That is a monumental achievement, having the largest campus at PSU, and we're very close to flipping that county from blue to red.
Talk to me about the collar counties outside of Philadelphia, Bucks, Montgomery, Delaware County. Talk to me about those.
Well, Bucks County is a shining gem in the Southeast Corridor. And, you know, 4 years ago, the Democrats had an advantage of 15,000 more registered Democrats than Republicans. Now, Republicans have an advantage of more than 5,000 more registered Republicans than Democrats.
Wow.
That's a shift of 20,000 voters to the right in a state that was decided by 80,000 voters in 2020. So that one county alone could very well be responsible for one-fourth of what 2020 was decided by in just one of the 67 counties. And even in Chester, we're seeing some movement to the right. And even in Philadelphia, actually, I looked at the data because we get party-to-party switches, and four times as many Democrats switch to Republican as vice versa in Philadelphia. I think that's a very big statement.
I think it's a huge statement. Absolutely. No question about it. And you've been going to places where people who should have been voting and should have been registered Republican have not been. Hunters and people that buy guns. And I mean, just different groups of people. You've been going to them. And I guess part of the problem is nobody had just ever asked them to register to vote before. You did. And they said yes. And then they decided to register as Republican. Sometimes it's just as simple as asking.
Correct. Well, we can't be under the assumption that people are registered to vote. You know, you go into a gun store and you probably think, oh, all these people are registered. No, 30% of Pennsylvania hunters are not registered. So even though the voter registration deadline is over, I still need you going and campaigning at your gas station, at your Walmart, at your Home Depot, at your church, at your fraternity house, at your gun show. Like, literally, you must talk to everyone. Wear your MAGA hat everywhere. And if somebody compliments you, say, great. Do you have a plan to vote this November? Do you have a plan to lock in your vote for Donald Trump here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania? And remember, a lot of people might feel maybe a little bit of shame for never having voted before. It's really incumbent upon us to make sure that they feel so welcomed into this process. We had Pam Probstin, one of our staff, she went to a VFW hall. She registered a 94-year-old veteran that hasn't voted since he was in his 30s. And it was simply by courting him, by speaking to him, by treating him with value and agency. And so I'm just asking all of you, in the next week, you talk to every living soul that you see and you ask for their vote for Donald Trump and Dave McCormick and for all of our Republican tickets from the top of the ticket to the bottom.
I'm going to push back, and I'm just going to throw this out there, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to assume that the enthusiasm we're seeing right now, 2.5 hours, people waiting in line, I'm going to assume it's Democrats who are trying to stop Donald Trump. I'm going to assume that because I want people to get off their hump and get out there and vote. Because I don't want anybody thinking, well, we got the enthusiasm. We saw Madison Square Garden packed to the brim last night. We got all these great registration numbers. He's got this. I'm good. No. Let's assume 2.5 hours to vote are people that want to stop Donald Trump come hell or high water. And so the only way to counter that is to make sure we vote. And I really, truly, and this is why today, me personally, Scott, and I'm a Jersey voter, so you know, there's only so much I can do to help, but I went to my Board of Elections today. I got my mail-in ballot application. I got my ballot. I filled it out, and I delivered it to my county board of elections in person.
Wow.
And I did that today because I want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing to help out. So this is what everybody has to do here.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for being an example. Thank you for early voting. New Jersey has early in-person voting. You can vote by mail. You can vote in person.
But tomorrow's the deadline to get your mail-in ballot in New Jersey as well. And, you know, I heard people were waiting in line in Jersey for a couple hours. I just don't have the patience for it, Scott. That's why I did that today. Yeah. But tomorrow's another tomorrow for PA and New Jersey. Tomorrow's the deadline to get that application in. So do it, because I just don't think we can afford. You know, somebody's like, well, listen, I'm one vote. What does one vote matter? If you and 5,000 other people have that mindset and we lose by 5,000 votes, that's a real problem. It may not come down to one vote, but if you're one of the 5,000 that don't vote and then we lose, that's where I'm going to be really upset.
Well, let's. I don't want to give this information to allow anybody to sit on their hands, but listen very carefully. Republicans are actually winning early voting in Arizona. We're winning early voting in Florida, in Nevada, which is unheard of, in North Carolina. And Republicans right now have 30% of the mail-in vote in Pennsylvania. Usually it's only 22%. We're making extreme progress in PA. Now, with that being said, Donald Trump, if he's going to be successful, he needs it all, guys. You give him the presidency, you give him a Republican House, you give him a Republican Senate, but more importantly, this needs to be a mandate. And so to any of you that are in Newark or Camden or Philly or whatever blue area you're in, your vote is going to help Donald Trump achieve something even greater. Give him the popular vote. Mm-hmm. Give him that one extra plus one, and you can really help write in the history books that Donald Trump won a mandate in a landslide this November. But it is incumbent upon you. You must vote. You must vote. Like, this election is either we win or it's World War III and a nuclear war. If we either win or that border is going to continue to allow a horde of illegal aliens into our country. You either vote or we're going to have 300 Americans continuing to die from fentanyl. I mean, truly, this election is we must win and we must elect Donald Trump.
Scott Pressler, earlyvoteaction.com. Follow him on X at Scott Pressler. Thanks for all you're doing, my friend. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.